position number 23213, wheel 6.
Major Potts, reel 6.
You were saying that you're digging reserve positions. How were these actually laid out, and who was responsible for giving you instruction on the layout of the platoon defensive position?
I think it was done by the battalion support company commander, David Shaw. And he showed us where the platoon area was. We went and marked it out. And then he came round and had a look and said yay, nay, or move it. And anyway, we did that. And then...
Was it as per the instruction you had been given at Malls, at Eaton Hall?
Yeah. I suppose no two positions are ever the same. Yeah, the principles are the same. It was interlocking fire and stuff like that. But we only did the fire trenches. We didn't do bunkers and things like that.
Was it so presumably there would be two sections forward and one back?
Yeah. I'm not certain that it's always like that because. Say you had a section of machine guns with you, you might put out your defensive position slightly different. Mm-hmm. Often you have to put your defensive position to fall in with the land and not fall in with the principles of war, or whatever they call it. I think you can become, if you do that, you can leave yourself open to criticism of not having a proper defensive position.
Could you actually see them looking forward from these positions?
I think we could see quite a lot. We could see, you know, I mean, we didn't have any enemy in front of us, but we had a, if I remember rightly, I didn't spend too much time, we were sort of halfway down a forward slope. And
that's unusual, isn't it? Normally you would have a, presumably a reverse slope.
Wow. Yeah, I would agree with that. But you know, every situation is different. I know what you're talking about, but as I say, you can become too dogmatic about it.
Of course. Were these one man steps or two man steps?
Two.
Was there any wire?
No, we didn't put up any wire or anything like that. We just dug the slit trenches. It was the idea, I think, was if the Chinese had pushed, had counterattack, we would, or someone would occupy these slits.
So they'd be there pre-dug.
Pre-dug, yeah.
Put out wire and mines if you had any.
We didn't use mines as such in Korea till after the Imjin-do, or I didn't come across them till after the Imjin-do. Anyway, we did that, and then we were told to go to the outskirts of Seoul, and we were to occupy a school. Seoul was being cleared by the Americans. Anyway, we went to this school, and the colour sergeant managed to fill up the water bowser with beer from the local brewery. Well, it was out of bounds, but we all had beer. 600 gallons of beer or whatever. Pretty revolting stuff. And then the Americans did an airborne landing. Their 187 RCT or whatever it was from 82nd Airborne landed north of Seoul. And we were to go up and take over from them, but we never did get take over from them. We went on another route, and we were told we were advancing towards the Imjin. And the Chinese had launched, the rumor was the Chinese had launched Mongolian cavalry. absolute rubbish, but it seemed to spread like wildfire.
How did you do this move? Were you moving tactically or were you moving administratively?
Well, we went up to where our assembly area was in trucks, and then we moved forward. I think actually moving forward was pretty awful because we all had to carry so much kit, and it was all up a hill.
Moving forward on foot?
On foot for several miles, plus carrying extra ammunition like mortar and machine gun ammunition. And we went up this great cud. We were pretty shattered by the time we got to the top. And then we came down towards the river. And the Americans were with their Chaffee tanks on the road. And they were machine gunning the road for the simple reason they were trying to explode any mines that the Chinese might have put on the road. We went down, we went to pre-designated areas. We started to dig in. That was it. And we dug in. And Gloucesters were on our left. Northumberland's behind us. And a Filipino, no, it wasn't. It was a Central American forces of some sort were on our right. Well, they might well have been. I don't know. I can't remember. Except they did manage to shoot Houston Shaw Stewart in the foot. CO decreed that we would have liaison patrols every 2 hours at night to make sure they were still there. And Houston went over and they shouted the password and Houston said, "Oh, I'm British and I can't remember the effing password." So they shot him. So he retired hurt to the BMA. He wasn't there very long, week. And we stayed there for a bit. Then we went across the Imjin. No, we were there longer than that. We were there a couple of weeks.
Nothing happened while you were there.
Nothing really, because the river was in front of us.
Your positions there, what kind of positions? What kind of positions were they?
Or defensive.
So we dug in.
Yeah.
Were you on a forward slope there?
Yeah, we were on a forward slope.
Did you have any wire out there?
Yeah, I think we had wire and we had machine guns, we had MFOs with us. And we were in a proper position, and I forget who was on our left. And who was where the rest of the brigade was. I don't think I was sufficiently interested. Nobody ever told one everything that went on. And then eventually we stayed there for what time, I do not know.
Now, you said you had liaison patrols going out to the flanking.
Yeah, to the right flank, yes. Yeah.
Were there any other patrols or other...
No. There was the river in front. That was our, if you like, our wire.
That was your boundary then.
Well, I don't know where our boundary was.
How were you? How far ahead could you see? You know, how far ahead was your field of fire from your forward sections?
Oh, I suppose where the machine guns were, 800 or 1,000 yards. We could see this road going round to Ulster Crossing. Yeah, we were okay. We were in a fairly good position.
Turns out it had domination from the
observation. Yeah, that's right. We were in a pretty good position, but until whatever it was, week or 10 days later, and we were told to cross the river, and we did. We crossed the river on tanks. And we advanced up to a high ridge. It's there that the Imjin sort of came down from the north and then bore around like that. We crossed there and we went up this high ground here. And we were up there for 2 or 3 weeks.
In similar positions to the ones you had
before? Yeah, on this hill, the whole battalion was there. We were right forward. B Company were left forward. D Company were right at the back. And we patrolled, did odd patrols, or took out sort of large company patrols. Not a whole company, but quite a large proportion of the company. Yeah, they were, well, they were just, they were trying to find out where the enemy were. Well, there were reconnaissance fighting, you name it. We had one chap injured, was shot by a sniper at long range. He was the first time I'd seen a helicopter, really, when he was evacuated to the MASH.
How did he get treated at the MASH? Did you look after
him? I don't know. Quite well, I expect. And then we had a D Company got attacked at night. What actually happened, I don't really know. They did.
So this is your right rear company. Your
right rear company, yeah. There were lots of fireworks and bangs. Colin McNichol got an MC. And I think they actually killed several Chinese. Nobody bothered to tell the rest of us. Well, we all knew, you know, because we listened in on the radio net. And then another night I was sent out to a village in front to capture a Chinaman.
Did you find one?
No, I didn't. I fell over the bloody telegraph wire, so I went across a road and said, fuck it, in a very loud voice.
How many men did you have with you?
I think I had about a dozen. We were going to go have a fire group, and we're going to have a snatch party of four. We're going to go into this building. And we watched the building, but the Chinese had withdrawn during the night. And
had you seen them going into it then?
Yeah, we had, coming up from the rear. Yeah. And we watched them for 2 days. Mm. And we thought we were definitely going to get one. But they weren't there. So we were a bit downhearted. You know, we did it according to the book, and we failed.
Did you find anything there?
No, nothing, no, no. Chinese had no equipment. They carried a bit of rice and PT shoes. And they were Chinese. They weren't Koreans.
How much did you know about the enemy you were facing at this stage?
Very little. All we did know that the Chinese had come in and had driven us back to the Han. Now we were advancing up again. Across the river were the Americans, but it was quite wide, the river, 50 yards wide, and of course we had no contact with them. Not by radio or anything. And we remained in that area for 2 weeks and were relieved by the Belgian battalion.
What did you make of them when they turned up and came in to relieve you?
I thought the Belgians were a very professional outfit. They were the cream of the Belgian army. They had a foreign legion company. They had a French. They had an airborne company. And their doctor, I couldn't believe it. He was wearing this, and he was wearing all these medals. And his last two medals was a George Cross and the DSO. And I looked at him, and I thought, I don't believe it. And we were sitting down. This was later, but I said to him, you got a George Cross, though. Why, where did you get that George Cross? And he said, my name's O'Leary in English. I was escaping in France. He was a chap who had organized 600 escapes. He's in the VC register, or GC register, and he had a DSO as well, plus masses of... He became minister for... a minister in the Belgian government after career. He was a wonderful man. And, yeah, we got on quite well with the Belgians. We liked them. And they were very professional.
Were they English speakers?
Quite a lot were speak English or broken English, yes. Yeah. But they didn't treat people with very much respect. They went the Belgian way. Well, you can imagine they were either paratroopers or Foreign Legion. I don't think they were that big a battalion. I think they had about 3 companies.
Do you recollect seeing any Luxembourgers amongst them?
No, there were, I know there was a platoon of Luxembourgers, but I don't think I ever thought about them. They were... Yeah, good lot. Did you know about O'Leary? You knew about O'Leary.
No, never heard of him.
Well.
When the Belgians came up to relieve you, how was that relief conducted?
I think platoon, section by section and platoon by platoon.
Was it done in daylight or at night?
Daylight, as far as I remember. Mm. Yes, it was. It was done in daylight. We were quite glad to not to be on this isolated small mountain, if you like.
How had you been supplied and resupplied?
Brought up by carriers across at Ulster Crossing, and the carriers belonged to either the mortars or the machine gun platoons. They were Oxford and wretched Universal ones. But the water wasn't all that deep at Ulster Crossing, and it most probably were the Oxfords. So, yeah, we were supplied. We did live on compo for really, actually, far too long, and it was American compo in a lot of the time. Our soldiers got very fed up with American compo. It's like a Christmas box the first day. It's like... continuing on Boxing Day, but when you get to New Year's Day, it's boring.
Yeah, what was in it compared to what was in the British?
Much more, you know, chicken and ham. Of course, there was no tea, it was all coffee. Biscuits, crackers. In fact, the troops used to throw them down the hill, they were so fed up with them. They didn't have anything like good old bit of bully beef, you know, spaghettis and things which weren't really part of the average soldier's menu in those days. No meat and veg and plum duff.
All in stew.
All in stew. I think that, yeah, oh, there was sort of bacon and something else which... It was really all salty, and I suspect it was very good for you, but you got fed up with it.
What about supplies of water? How did you get that?
We generally went down to streams. You know, we had a water carrying party, and they took maybe a water bottle each down to the stream. We never had a problem with water in Carrera at all. Well, it didn't in Malaya either. In fact, I've never had a problem with water.
What about the sanitation arrangements? You were in those conditions for a fortnight or so.
Well, we just put up a dug a trench and put a pole across it and squatted on it and put a shovel full of earth on top of what was put in. It seemed to work. Some of the UN soldiers, for instance, the Greeks, we took over later on a Greek position. We had to move for position because they had just fouled all the ground around. They even fouled in the trenches they were standing in. And it was in early summer, and the stench of the position was appalling.
Must have been a health hazard,
wasn't it? Oh, awful, awful. But I suppose that's how the Greeks lived in those days. Perhaps they've got better for them as they're going to run the Olympics in 2 years' time. But there you are. That's all I can say.
Where did you go when you left this position?
We went down, really on the main supply route, which, to our, I suppose it was F. Echelon. Yeah, it was F. Echelon. And we were put out, you know, just around the hills, around the F. Echelon. We all had a little bit of ground and put up our little tents. And, you know, we got colour sergeants came up, and I think we had centralised cooking, and the colour sergeants had got hold of bread from somewhere. And we also, the mobile bath unit came up, and we all went off to be mobile bathed, which was very pleasant. The water was pitch black, but through dirty, oh yeah, being fire underneath, you know. And we were all given, I think we were given, because it was the turning point of winter into summer, I think we were all given sort of clean pants and thin pants and thin vests. And, yeah, we had an officer's mess night. Well, not mess night. We all centralised for a few wets and a meal. Yeah, and it was quite a good meal. The mess sergeant had obviously scrounged it for a few bottles of whiskey, because we got a limited amount of spirits to start with. Of course, the Americans didn't have any beer either, and we did. We had, I think we had 2 bottles of beer per soldier per day.
Quite a bad ration.
Not a bad ration at all. And old Dutchy Pierce, he liked to have national servicemen eventually in his section, because he could then... told them they were too young to drink and used to have their beer as well. Awful thing to say, isn't it? It was true.
Well, it's the old soldier's trick, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. But he was an old soldier. I met him again years later. He was dead now, poor chap. He was a good chap. And there we were. And we were there for 2 days. And suddenly one night, we heard lots of bangs and very distant rifle fire. And Hedley Craig, my friend, who'd come out with me, had taken over the battle patrol. I'd never come across it, the battle patrol before, and I'd never come across it again. It was something peculiar to the Ulster Rifles, and it always seems... It got hammered in Happy Valley. They were mounted on Oxford carriers. How many, I do not know. I think the patrol was about 25 or 30. And they went up to secure Ulster Crossing. And they got ambushed. And not a lot got out. Well, I think several did get out. Hedley got out, but... He went off his chomp. I don't think he was very stable. Obviously, he bounced on his head being a para. The Belgians had to get out, but they went out to the right and across the river into the American position. And I don't think they had any casualties, or if they did, there were very, very few. And then they came back and further down the road and... Well, if you like, the stop to help us get out if we ever had to. And anyway, we were alerted in the middle of the early morning. And we were told what was happening, that the Chinese were attacking, and that 45th Field were being attacked in the open over, and the guns were firing over open sights. The Royal Northumberland Fusiliers were holding the river line on the high ground just in behind the river. And they were doing very well. There were some very great pieces of bravery by the Northumberlands. I think a chap got a DCM, and they did very, very well. Anyway, we marched up the road, well, shambled up the road towards the enemy. And as the day grew on, it got hotter and hotter, and the dust grew, you know, because it was Murrum.
And no,
we were going straight up the road, you know, single file. Yeah, because we had vehicles going up and down the road, you see. You know, gun limbers and stuff like that. Ambulances, you name it, it was going up and down.
So you were by the side of the road?
Well, by the side of the road, yeah. If you could call it a proper road. And we went up, and eventually we stopped, and the CO came back. And he had an O group, and anyway, we were told that we were to go on to this point 398, which was quite high up, and we were all carrying, talk about yomping in Falklands, so we were yomping there up this wretched shale mountain, and we were told to get up there, and the CO would see us at the top. In these days he would go by helicopter, but he had to walk up as well, and I suppose it took us 2 hours to get up to the top, and we were put out in our positions. We were on a spur. On the forward spur was 3 platoon, I think it was, then 2 platoon, then I was on the back end of the spur.
Had you had any sort of premonition or idea that this might be going to happen, there might be an enemy offensive?
Well, every full moon there was always going to be an enemy offensive. And the Warriors of Doom used to go around saying, you're all going to have it this time. But we'd had no contact with the wretched Chinese. You see, the Chinese were very crafty. They left a great buffer in between us and themselves. And of course, they carried nothing but their guns and their little bit of food. And they, for, you know, 10 miles, the start of the night, they just jogged along. And hit us, you know, after dark, you know, 2 or 3 in the morning. And anyway, we climbed up the hill and we started to dig in. The hill was monstrous in that it was all shale, so you couldn't dig very far down in your slit trench. So you built up a bit. Well, you could do, but it wasn't very advisable because the ridge in front might be occupied by the Chinese. We had to bury 2 Chinese who had been napalmed earlier in the year, who were up just at the top end of my platoon position. Their weapons were all obliterated by fire, and they were just a horrible mess. So we buried them, and we didn't touch them, we just buried them. And we had that night to dig in, and that day to dig in. And I think